T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On select models plus tax, title, license, and doc fee.
Want to work in radio, TV, social media? Call Illinois Media School. Classes start now. Don't wait till August like everyone else. Start early, finish early. Graduate in just 8 months and start working in a job you love. Call Illinois Media School now. 630-916-1700. That's 630-916-1700.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/small business.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by Honda CRV. Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental Difference.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Glenn Casper.
This second half now takes on great importance. It is the final year of Joe's contract. Cole Hamels, John Lester, these guys are not getting any younger. And while the Cubs window that we have talked about probably goes through 2021, you have these mini windows. The Cubs won a World Series in the Jake Arrieta mini window. And now we have a little bit of a different window with those starting pitchers. So I'm excited to see how it plays out. I think the roller coaster ride, while it hasn't been always fun, it has been fascinating to follow. And sometimes it's good to see what your team is made of when it has its back against the wall. They're in first place, but I don't think anyone in that clubhouse feels that way. And they don't feel satisfied that even though they're atop the division, that they've played great baseball, because they haven't.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in for Dan. I'm Connor, and it is a very, very special day today because we are live at Smoke Daddy just across the street from Wrigley Field, 3636 North Clark. All thanks to our friends at Ambetter from Illini Care Health. For info, visit ambetter.illinicare.com. Tons to do on the show today. The Cubs resume their season. It is a massive series to begin with. Really, every single game of huge importance up until the July 31st trade deadline. Grody and I'll get you set for the second half of baseball. You can get in touch with the show as always, really, same way. Twitter.com is at Bernstein_MCK. You can email the show at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You can watch the stream when it's on at Facebook, rather watch 670thescore.com. You can go to Facebook and like the page. That way you can get involved in all of the Facebook conversation because it's terrific. You can also follow the Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show by going to the radio.com app. You must download the radio.com app. Chris Paul got exiled last night.
Ooh.
We're going to get to that, too. That is an exiling of a premier pro, but once premier player in the NBA. We will talk to Brian Geltzeiler at 10 o'clock, the SiriusXM NBA HoopsCritic.com. We'll do the midday midway at 10:40. Jonah Carey is going to join us at 11. He of the Opener podcast and Sportsnet. We will also be looking at Wrigley Field for a guest or two or three or four. We'll certainly talk to somebody who's over there at Wrigley Field, usually wears pinstripes, that kind of thing. Grody, good morning, sir. How are you, man?
Good morning, Connor. I'm so happy that we have the baseball restart today. It's awesome to be back in Wrigleyville and doing a show. By the way, we're upstairs at Smoke Daddy. So when you come in, go up the stairs and you can come hang out with us, eat some delicious barbecue, enjoy the show ahead of, I did not think that at this point in the season, I was not projecting that a Cubs-Pirates series post-All-Star break would be a big series. It is for a number of reasons. Obviously, with the Pirates being just 2.5 back and having had the Cubs number recently, taking 3 out of 4, and, you know, there was that July 4th incident.
That whole thing
where Jordan Lyles is going high on Javier Baez, Joe Maddon goes after Clinton Hurdle, or was he going after the Ray Searage, actually?
I think he was going after everybody he could find.
Which was absolutely awesome. And just not to mention, and then you have the Adam Frazier factor, who had 10 hits over that 4-game series, 9 of which came in 2 games. And then Josh Bell, who just for the hell of it hit 3 home runs in a game. So there is a, not just because of this year, there is a nice rivalry that has been building since 2015 between the Cubs and the Pirates. But winning is at the top of the heap for what the Cubs need to get done today and over the next 3 days.
So let's list the things of consequence for the Cubs as we begin the second half. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let me know if you think I missed anything here. I've got a handful of bullet points. Things of consequence for the Cubs. You can text too, 67011. Always enjoy getting your texts. It's Friday, so I would be remiss to not say that we would welcome your wayward sexts, because Dan Bernstein still wants those. I'll actually forward it. Dan's on vacation. He's hunting the Humboldt Park gator. We'll give you updates on the gator throughout the show. But if we do get a wayward sext, I will make sure to forward it on to Dan. He thoroughly enjoys those.
Well, my thing, I've always been okay with the Thursday wayward text, too. But that's just me.
Sure.
I know Dan likes the Friday ones. I'm more into the Thursday ones.
I get you. Yes. A little more. You know, if you're sending one on Thursday, you must really need to send one, that kind of thing.
Weekend starts on Thursday, brother.
Different type of thirsty Thursday.
So here's the things. Very different type. So thirsty, though. So a number of things at stake are of consequence for the Cubs as they begin their unofficial, official second half of the 2019 season. Clearly at stake here is the NL Central, right? I mean, not only are you playing teams that are all jacked up within 3.5 games in the division, all teams that have, I think with exception of perhaps the Cincinnati Reds, each team in this division has underachieved to begin the 2019 season.
Absolutely.
You might want to throw the Pirates into the overachieved mark, but I think people expected them to be fairly good. They made a trade for Chris Archer last year to get themselves into contention / save money or whatever. But that's the Cincinnati Reds have overachieved. Everyone else has been bad, frankly, compared to what they expected to be going in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in our own little circle of angst here in Chicago, but trust me, they're going through the same thing in Milwaukee. Neither team, I mean, one of these two teams, the Cubs or Brewers, could have run away with the division. There could be, if one of them had just won at a normal rate, there's a 5 or 6 game lead that could have been had for either the Cubs or the Brewers. So they're dealing with a similar type of angst. And then, as we talked about with Len Casper yesterday, Len and I are on the exact same page. St. Louis is a team that from go, haven't been able to figure out. They're just 2 games back and a lot of talent on that team. Obviously some big injuries for the Cardinals as well, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had a hot streak as well.
Yeah, not having Jordan Hicks in the second half of the season will hurt them, but they've found arms here or there. That's just the most obvious thing of consequence for the Cubs as they start this second half, the division itself. But there are so many more stakes for them, and these will, you know, it's strange to think about it this way. When the window still exists into 2021, like you heard Len talk about when we were starting the show, but there are other things that reverberate all the way to the top of this organization, all based on the next 10 or 12 baseball games. And that's not how you should evaluate a season, and yet that's how we do it in July. I'll let you know what the rest of the stakes are after the update. 312-644-6767 in case you think I missed one. And in case you think I'm lying to you, you'll hear from Jed Hoyer, the Cubs general manager, when we come back. He's going to prove my point.
We had a really good streak. We had a really bad streak. And
You know, the good news is that through all that, you know, the second half will define this team. You know, luckily for us, no one has run away with our division. You know, we could be in the position of Boston or a Cleveland or an Oakland. They've had good first halves, but the team in first place got really hot. You know, we were fortunate. You know, we didn't have that. And so ultimately what we do over the next 2.5 months is going to define this team, and that's a good position to be in.
Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer, he was on the Mully and Haw show yesterday. We talked quite a bit about his comments concerning the future of this team. It's the Murdsey and McKnight show. Connor McKnight and Mark Grody out here live at Smoke Daddy, just across the way from Wrigley Field. And by the way, if you're into it, and you should be, you still have a chance to join the Scores Lawrence Holmes on Monday. He's hosting Jason Hayward and Kyle Schwarber at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigley. It's the second luncheon of the 2019 Cubs on Deck series. Tickets are on sale now at 670thescore.com/on deck. That's 670thescore.com/on deck. It's presented by TimberTech and Xfinity. Those are always fun events. Really enjoyed doing them last season. You get some, at times, you get some unvarnished stuff from some of these guys. And as a man who has roamed the clubhouse now and again, you know what some of that unvarnished stuff can do for a storyline, for understanding the team you're following.
Oh, yeah, like they're engaged. They're into it. They're not standing in a clubhouse getting ready for a game where you have that little bit of tension that exists between reporters and players because they're about to do a job and we're bothering them. On those days, they are uninhibited.
I would rather have, for being honest, though, I would rather have the tension in an interview than the staring into the middle distance that you get sometimes
yes.
from guys. Because those are the two things you get from ballplayers when you go down to interview them before a game. You either get like, oh, please go away from me, like that kind of tension, or just staring somewhere over your shoulder, not listening to the question and offering, you know, your Crash Davis euphemism about baseball.
The worst is when you ask an athlete, request an interview, and they say, give me a couple minutes. And then they take their time getting dressed, and then they kind of give you the, all right, come on, let's go. What do you need to know? What do you want?
And it's whenever, you know, a guy get in and something like that. Yeah, let me just change. Let me just do this. And then you watch a man put on a shirt slower than anyone
it's the worst.
Has ever put on a shirt before.
Right. Because we got deadlines, Connor.
Yeah, and they don't care. They got a baseball game to win.
And they shouldn't care.
Cubs have a baseball game to win. They've got the Pirates, of course. That game's here on the Score. Pre-game show with Zach Zaidman this afternoon. It is Chris Archer for the Pirates and Yu Darvish for the Cubs. Also at stake, we were talking about the things at stake for the Cubs over the next, I don't know, call it 9 games, call it the entire rest of the month, however you want to do it. But it's 3 against the Pirates, 3 against the Reds, off day, and then 3 against the Padres. So I guess if you want to bake those first 6 into the equation, being that they're against division opponents, you can. So let's say it's the first 6. Also at stake, whether to buy or whether to sell. And I think this, as obvious as that is, we talked about this division, the Cardinals, the Pirates, the Reds, the Brewers. Nobody's been that overwhelming. So I think a large question around these next 6 games, what happens if everybody just kind of keeps their head above water and nothing more? What happens if you're the Cubs looking to be aggressive and keep this window open, make sure that you've added the things you need to add, but nobody starts to push you and you don't push yourselves either? What if this is a division that gets won by 86 or 85 wins? Do you go add then? You know, if you sit 2.5 weeks and you're 5 days to the deadline, are you still then willing to push in as much? How much can you let everyone else around you affect what you're doing? That would be a first for them. Because they've always kind of been, since 15, in a class of their own in this division, more or less. Sure, the Cardinals challenged a bit in 15, and that was a great divisional series, and there's a one-game playoff with the Pirates and everything, but they've been able to set the pace. What if the best play is letting the Central, as a division, decide your pace?
Let it play out a little bit.
Does that make you happy?
Yeah.
Does that make a Cub fan happy? I don't know.
I don't think that it should, because just like you said, it's they have never been in that position. And I'm convinced now that there will not be a big move. And that includes Joe Maddon. I don't think that Joe Maddon will be fired. Maybe they let him go after the season is over. But at the cut that you played coming in, the second half will define this team.
Yeah.
To me, that says all these players and Joe Maddon, they all get, this is it. This is your shot. And if it doesn't work out this year, then we break things up. And then Theo Epstein, too. He came on really strong when he came on the score with Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
He was extremely angry. And then he then gathered reporters around it, really feel, and he was still speaking strongly. However, his quote then was, "We're not close to anything, but we're kind of in a proactive stance." So it was like using the word kind of and proactive. That said to me that that was Theo Epstein backing off just a little bit as to say, yeah, there's not going to be a major move. And I also think it would be a cop-out for Theo Epstein and or Jed Hoyer to get rid of Joe Maddon at this point, because Joe Maddon has done every single thing that they have told him to do with the players that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer have brought in. So I think it would be a bad idea to get rid of Joe Maddon this year.
There's more at stake for this team as they start the second half. There are a couple of additions, potential additions that could happen too. I'll tell you what they are. You may not be thinking of them. We'll do that in a second. The segment brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running this weekend at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Join them Saturday for Arlington's annual food truck festival with over 20 trucks, and Sunday for Chicago Bears Day with autograph signing and Bears entertainment. Visit arlingtonpark.com for tickets. He's Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. We are live at Smoke Daddy in Wrigleyville, right across the street from the ballpark. We'll be here till noon. Lawrence is going to be here as well. We're getting you set for Cubs-Pirates starting the second half of the season this afternoon. A little more Cubs talk when we come back. 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Later on, Dan Bernstein and Dan Bernstein and also Connor McKnight, thank you. Make sure you remind me of my name too, will you, Julio?
I think it's Les Gropstein.
Oh, is that what it is?
I believe so, yes.
Let me look at my birth certificate. You know what? You're right. You're right on there.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Mark Grody is in for Dan, and I am I'm somebody. I think.
Connor McKnight.
Irish name, a lot
thank
of people,
you.
People thank think you. It's McNaughton, but thank it's McKnight.
You. It is. It used to be McNaughton. It is now McKnight. We are at Smoke Daddy, hanging out across the street from Wrigley Field. We've got the Cubs and Pirates coming up a little bit later on in the afternoon. Lawrence is going to be here as well. But we were kind of going through, Mark, a number of things that are at stake for the Cubs as they start their second half of the season. Joe Maddon's future is on this list. The window and how open you try to keep it is on this list. I'm thinking, you know, potentially with a shakeup sort of move. Not that you should make a move to just shake up the roster, but I'm talking about dealing a core piece. And then there's the legacy of everything, right? There's the legacy of Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer as they tried and succeeded in rebuilding this franchise. You have one World Series. You had a roster that was potentially set up to bring you more. Do you need to go get another ring? You know, is there something else that this legacy has to have? In my opinion, this is mission accomplished and everything else. I mean, this may sound a little bit down on what may next happen, but you got your ring. This is mission accomplished. You've got more baseball to work for. You've got more wins to go get. But they got you the thing that never was going to happen here.
And I always think about 2016. Like, thank God they got it when they did. Not just for the obvious reasons, but for this window, considering the start that they had, considering it was the perfect storm, because there was a lot of teams then in the National League that didn't really care about winning. And in relation to what you're saying, mm-hmm. a texter from the 773 says, and I love this question, What is wrong with you? Yes, the Cubs have struggled, but they're in first place. And you know what, Texter? You're absolutely right. And if you can live with that, then that's fine. But I love the fact that there is so much angst from Cubs fans because the bar is set so high. It's a different Cubs fan than it used to be. And although I hate the idea of Joe Maddon potentially losing his job this year or after this year, I also love the fact that we're talking about that, that this franchise has gotten the bar is set so high at an elite pace that we're talking about possibly seeing the guy that wins you a World Series in 2016 leave this team. And I get it. It's like very conflicting to think about, but it's the bar is set that high. And even Chris Bryant said recently, we are just as greedy as any fan. First place is great, but we've missed out on a lot of opportunities to separate themselves. Even the players get it, that being in first place by a half game at the All-Star break ain't good enough for this franchise anymore. I think that's wonderful.
That quote from Bryant is great, because not only is it the season for them, it's been Chris Bryant's season, too. It's been a terrific year for him. There are 15 at-bats that need to end differently for him with runners in scoring, or just runners on base for that matter, that make him look maybe like an MVP candidate. I mean, obviously, you've got that whole Cody Bellinger thing going on in L.A., so that would be difficult. But still, you've got one hell of a season if a couple of knocks fall for you. And I'm not saying lucky stuff. I'm saying this is performance. You know, I'm saying this is preparation. Maybe it's a scouting report, too. But, you know, Cubs fans need to look at what this, how this roster is constituted, and ask yourself whether or not any team in this NL Central is necessarily better than what you've got. Because I still think this is the most talented team in the division. I don't think that guarantees you what it used to, given that every other team has gotten this much closer.
And that's why, like, some people will say, well, you should have traded Schwarber when you had the chance. And you have all these really hyper-talented core players that exist with the Cubs. Even the guys that have had bad seasons, like Albert Elmora Jr. And, you know, Kyle Schwarber has been up and down.
Yeah.
Sometimes I put myself in the shoes of Theo Epstein or Jed Hoyer, and I say, what would you do? These are really high-pedigree players that did help you win a World Series. And then talk about shaking up the core. I mean, that is there is major risk involved in doing this. Not as easy, I think, as everybody says. And yeah, that's their job. They're qualified to do it. They need to know. They need to be able to scout whether a player is going to be good going forward or not. But they have to decide, like, soon whether they're going to take a drastic turn or if they're going to stay with what they have.
Yeah, I don't know that you can rest comfortably watching this team from the outside just knowing that Joe Maddon has, what is it? It's a 647 post-All-Star break winning percentage.
Yeah.
Since 2015 with this team, that's damn good. I mean, let's just be real about it. That's a fantastic number. I don't know that this team is – I don't know that past performance indicates future success, even with a wide sample size like this, even with the roster being as consistent. And I think that's something that has Cubs fans just holding on for dear life, too. This weird sense that it's kind of the same team you've had for a while. Granted, the starting staff is a little different than you'd had when you won a World Series, but it's largely the same offense, and it's largely the same struggles, and it's largely the same streaks that you've had to deal with and enjoy all at the same time from 17 to now.
And this text from the 312, the measuring stick is not about winning the NL Central. And that's not setting the bar so high. That's what it should always be. We're Chicago, not Tampa. We should be winning titles. I wondered, like you're saying you are satisfied. Like, you're cool with the World Series, and everything else is just sort of like, all right, cool.
Sure, but that doesn't excuse, you know, good general managing and good managing and good baseball. Like, I'm not saying you can now stop and fold up the tent. I'm just saying, when you look back at this era of Cubs baseball, regardless of how it ends, and I mean that, regardless of how it ends, you got your World Series ring. That's the goal. You got your one. In a century plus, you hadn't had one. This was a success, regardless of how this ends. That's fact. That is immutable. You need to continue the success. You need to continue to play good base. But that was always going to happen. You took so many spins at the wheel. You nailed it on a second try, right? A second playoff appearance.
Yeah.
That is success. You did achieve the goal. And as sour as anything might leave for you, you know, as sour as this could get with maybe Joe's departure or a front office, it's not. Because as the texter mentioned, you know, we're not Tampa. We should be winning titles. Well, then look at the way some other National League teams have constructed their roster. Do you have the depth the Dodgers do?
Mm-mm.
Are you finding your own pitching? Are you able to develop players the way that other teams? I mean, hell, look at the Cardinals with Colton Wong and Paul DeJong, guys who had struggled in the big leagues, guys who fought with their managers. Well, their manager fought with them, but that's really the manager's fault in that case. They reclaimed them. They got Colton Wong to where he needs to be. They got Paul DeJong to being one of the best shortstops in the National League. Do you have those kind of reclamation projects on your roster? And if not, which you don't, where do you look for fixing those things?
I don't get the feeling. I don't know. You tell me if you've read it differently. I don't get the feeling from Cubs fans that they are satiated, that the 26, like there's got to be a contingent, but just based on what happened last year, the 5-game lead in September, and then you lose the division in game 163, and
right,
they lose
right.
to Colorado, Cubs fans were pissed. Even the year before, now that's the after the World Series, where you basically run out of gas against the Dodgers because of that crazy hyper.
Just the worst postseason series I've ever seen.
And the most entertaining at the same
absolutely.
Time against the Washington Nationals.
No doubt about it. It was like watching that Bulls-Celtics thing back in the
yes.
Ben Gordon era.
Yes.
Just a horrible couple of games,
yes,
but as
yes.
entertaining as any series you could possibly.
How about
hope
that
for?
Tyrus Thomas game where he was shooting from the outside and he's making shots, and they basically said, "Great job, Tyrus Thomas. Don't ever take that many shots from the outside again."
No, I think it was the next game where you get you're down one with a minute and a half. You get a breakaway, and Ben Gordon pulls up for a transition three.
Because
Ben, that's in an NBA where that wasn't happening yet. And
right.
It was Ben Gordon and not Steph Curry.
The giant kill. My favorite part about Ben Gordon is that most of the time you couldn't see Ben Gordon when he was taking shots. Like, he'd be deep in the corner with a couple guys on him, and then you just see this rainbow of a three-point attempt going up. So I'm glad we got to talk about that version of the Chicago Bulls.
Of course. Nothing but nostalgia for
yes.
that era.
Yes.
No, but listen, there's a difference between being satisfied or satiated and understanding that you accomplished the goal. However, you know, I can't tell a Cubs fan how to feel about this team. That's up to you. That's up to how you feel about a number of different things watching this franchise. But listen, this is different than the 85 Bears. This is different than one-off title winners of years past. This was one of the greatest sports stories in the history of the planet because of what this franchise was, the wilderness that it was willfully lost in, and the fact that you accomplished the goal. You won a World Series. That was the goal. It was accomplished. I can't tell you how to feel after that. Just know, you have to know that this was achieved.
Because of the magnitude of which you speak correctly, I think that has something to do with why these players have not been able to attain that same success in the years following. I mean, and I say that as human nature. These are, you know, 25-year-olds, basically, if you want to, like, throw out an average.
Yeah, the median. Average.
I mean, could you imagine doing what they did and the attention they got for it, I would imagine that human nature would dictate it'd be pretty hard to get motivated to try to do it again. And they are. Don't get me wrong. These aren't you know, a bunch of guys who are at the ends of their careers and don't have anything to play for, because a lot of them do, because a lot of them haven't had their first real contract. So if nothing else, they're going to be motivated by money. But I can't help but thinking that there's human nature involved with the letdown, I suppose, that the Cubs have had since 2016.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's Mark Grody in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. We are the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Today, we are at Smoke Daddy across the street from Wrigley Field. Come by, say hello. The barbecue is, oh my God, it's good today. They got the burnt ends out here. There was some bacon earlier. I've heard that there's a pretty decent Bloody Mary at the bar. I may have to avail myself of that once the
Keep
shift is over. Lawrence is going to be
in.
Here. So maybe we do something
happy
like that.
Happy birthday, Connor.
He's Rick Camp. And to Rick's delight, we're going to talk a little hoops when we come back. Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us to talk about a trade that has shaken up the NBA. I feel like we do that every day now, though. Like over the last week or so, we just keep on doing this over and over and over again. Geltzy's going to hang out to talk about the Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul exchange. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.